Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
So, big week.
Big.
I spent the week with the Mac Studio and the Studio Display. I also spent it with the Air, iPad Air, and the iPhone SE, but I didn't really spend any time on those because I was really focused on the Mac Studio and the Studio Display, as you might expect, because they're new.
They're new and different.
The other ones are not new, but not different. Yeah, that's it. That's it, exactly. We did a whole video that people can watch. It's kind of like a video version of this podcast. It's 90 minutes long. We did it yesterday. You can go watch it if you want to see what the Studio Display webcam looks like. I used it the whole time.
There are some questions.
There's one person who commented on YouTube, and I legitimately, I just don't, I kind of am baffled by the request, and I tried to ask for more information, which is basically like, oh, I expected to see you using the Mac. So it was a snarky, you know, it's a YouTube comment, but it's like, I'm not quite sure what a screencast would accomplish. Like, do I need, should I have had two Macs and done some bake-offs of, and we sit and watch as a video encodes for 4 minutes? And
I've got bad news for you. The Mac OS looks pretty much same, no matter.
I mean, that, I think that was my response, is it's literally just an Apple Silicon Mac running Mac OS. There's not anything. I'm not quite sure what I would show you. Like, I'm curious what they expected, but... like, there's really nothing, and the speed of it can better be conveyed in charts, I think, than in showing it, just because you're talking about, you have to compare it to something, and then it's more complex, and like, I don't know. Anyway, that was interesting, but we did talk about all the products, but especially about the Studio Display and the Mac Studio, and yes, I did do the entire thing from the webcam of the Mac Studio. So if you're curious, because you've seen people write about how terrible the Mac Studio webcam is, it doesn't look that terrible in that video at all, and that's underselling it. I think it looks fine, and I think that goes to the, I don't think that the people who reported that it was bad are wrong. I think clearly there's something going on where the output from that webcam is variable. I think it's doing some bad things in terms of trying to adjust the image, and in certain circumstances, it makes it bad. Although, I am also a little bit baffled that people were taking still photos with cameras and comparing it to a webcam. It's like, no, it's not the same. It's not the same. Right. It's not the same pipeline, because this is a 12-megapixel wide angle camera that's being dynamically cropped and moved and stuff, and I think it's got some issues with trying to maintain skin tone and dealing with backlighting and all sorts of other things going on there, and I think it's having trouble. But it's also, I think, not accurate to say that it's just bad, because I have been using it and I don't think it's bad at all in the circumstances where I've been using it most of the time. I also think maybe it's a context thing, which is, I'm not sure how much time some of these reviewers have spent with Center Stage on an iPad, which is the same hardware. I have spent a lot of time doing Zoom calls on Center Stage on an iPad. And, you know, it has some issues, because it is zooming and cropping. It is a 12-megapixel camera, but then, you know, it's not using that full resolution because it's zooming it in. So I think some of these issues are that. I think some of these issues are people who are used to maybe a straight up unmoving 4K webcam, which this is not, and it does not look the same. Or they're comparing it to something like a selfie camera on a phone, which is also not the same, because that's a still image pipeline and that's different. There are lots of different things going on here, but, you know, Apple has said, yeah, something is wrong. And yeah, you can see it, that like some of those image samples, something is really kind of messed up there. But in my office, comparing it to the iPad Pro running Center Stage, they seemed pretty comparable. So I don't know what to say beyond that.
Yeah, I got a heads up.
Like, I'm not going to tell tales out of school, but like, at least one reviewer pinged me and said, "Hello, fellow reviewer, are you seeing problems with this?" And I tried to replicate it before I posted my review, and I couldn't do it. I just didn't see those problems that they were seeing. I saw other problems, like it not really being on center, and taking a long time to figure out that it needed to center the one person who was in the shot in the frame. And I have other issues with the display, but I couldn't replicate what they were seeing. And I think maybe it has to do with the lighting conditions in my office, maybe.
I don't know. I feel like there's also a dividing line between, it doesn't look bad, but maybe it could look better. Like... like you said, the context is important and comparisons are important. When you and I were doing our video stream yesterday and you were using that webcam, I think if you asked someone not knowing, like, oh, how does that webcam look to you? They would have said, looks fine.
Yeah.
Right? Like, nobody would have, I don't think anybody would have jumped at it and said, that looks terrible. What's going on? Some of it is just because they've heard all the foo-foo-rah around
it. Certainly.
But it also is not to say that you couldn't look at that and then look at a webcam from a, a 4K webcam or something like that and think, yeah, that one's not quite as good, but yeah.
So here's what another thing that goes into this, and it goes to the question of, is it as good? That's the wrong thing to say, because Apple made a choice. Apple decided it was more important to put this hardware in there along with the software that makes it pan around and stuff, because you've got a thing on a desk sitting solid on a desk, and you've got a subject or subjects that may be moving around on the other side, and center stage is meant to frame them automatically, so no matter where you're sitting in front of your monitor, there's a whole reason for it. Apple chose that instead of a straight up 4K webcam dead center framed around somebody sitting. And that we can question that choice, because although I like center stage, I think that it's at least worth the argument about whether Apple did this because they think it's the right thing for this product, or whether Apple is just really proud of itself for implementing iOS inside of a monitor in order to do this thing, whatever. Like, or they just, it's going to be everywhere. This is what we think the right thing is. And it could be a bad decision, but it's the decision they made. I think if they had made that 4K, just a straight up 4K webcam in there, in certain circumstances, in certain positions, with a person in front of the screen, with the screen tilted at the right angle, would it be a better picture? Undoubtedly. And they chose not to do that because they thought that doing a center stage camera would be overall a better choice. So, I think what you need to do, if you're dinging them like some of these reviews are, I think that the root issue is Apple's choice of using the center stage system. And because Apple did choose this. Apple chose a more flexible webcam over a fixed webcam that probably would perform better. And that would be, for me, that's the question, if you want to debate something about why they made this decision.
Yeah, I think the other thing to throw into the mix there is, by now, obviously, Apple has said to some reviewers there seems to be something going on there, and maybe there's software
update. Firmware update.
iOS update.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But I would also caution people who are thinking that, like, once that software update has been applied, that it's going to look like everything they are imagining it's going to look like. It's probably not.
No.
It's probably going to fix some issues. It may look a little better, but I would not expect a night and day difference here.
No, same thing, right? It's just never expect that when the vendor tells you, oh, yeah, we fixed it, it's going to be a software update, it'll come out soon. Like, do not assume that what they are going to give you is going to be the magic fix to all of the issues that you might have with it. There's a lot of advice to go around here, right? Because we've already talked about it too long. Like, I think that this being the big tempest in a teapot is really stupid, but I didn't see the bad results that other people saw. I think it's not the reason you want this display anyway. I think for a webcam, who's using this webcam? Like, my experience is it will be fine for whatever you want. Now, maybe it could be better, but it will be fine. Like, it is a webcam on a monitor, and it's not the reason this product is interesting. I mean, it's interesting about it, but like, what's interesting about it is that it is the first time Apple has made a reasonably priced display for Mac users who have laptops or all-in-one, standalone thing, or all-in-one desktops, right? In years, in like 7 years. So I think it's unfortunate that the camera thing has kind of swamped the rest of the story. I also, not to single out any reviewers, but to say that I think some reviewers were reviewing it against an imaginary product that uses all of the most modern display technology that exists in the world. And I would posit that if they actually made that product, it would be for a price that they would just rip Apple for the price. Like, I think that there are some impossible standards this monitor is being held up against involving products that don't exist. And my patience for that is less because we all kind of went with it when Apple said, oh, we don't need to make a standalone monitor anymore. We're going to let the market handle it. The market will serve our users fine. And guess what? It didn't. The market did not serve the users fine. And while some people are fine with a, you know, I was talking to Scott McNulty last night. Like, he's got a widescreen, I don't know what, 30, 32-inch curved, I think 4K display. And, like, that's great. That's way lower resolution than what Apple considers Retina right. on the Mac. Right. But you can do it. And if you want that, there are a lot of monitors out there. But if you want an Apple experience like Apple defines it on iMacs and laptops, we were left with the LG Ultrafine, which people didn't love, and it was the only choice. So we went from the company choice of the Apple monitor to the company choice of the LG monitor. So the lie has been put to the idea that the let the market flourish and serve Mac users. So I have a hard time with a reviewer saying, oh, well, this is this display that is giving Mac users everything that they've wanted for the last 7 years, but it doesn't have the most modern cutting edge features that are in all these other things. Like, please, let's get real here. People are dying for this monitor. Like, they have been waiting for it for so long. And it could Apple release a better display? Absolutely, they could. Not for $1,600, but there we are.
Yeah, I mean, they could release one that's first deeper than $1,600, but you don't want to see the corners they're going to get there, right?
Yeah, like, well, no, and if
they're not going to. That's not clear, their value proposition.
And I'm not clear that they can make, like, a 27-inch micro-LED backlit ProMotion display, right?
No. I'm saying they could take that panel they put into this one and have put it on a crappy plastic stand taken out the USB ports.
The LG Ultrafine, that's the beauty of the last 7 years of there not being anything else, is the LG Ultrafine is the counter example, which is, you can make one that's cheaper and kind of crappy, but is okay panel-wise. And, like, some people think it's fine. Some people like it. But what I will say is it did not get embraced. One real possibility when the Ultrafine came out and it was in Apple stores was that all of us looked at it and collectively as a group, everybody decided that we don't need an Apple display anymore because the LG Ultrafine solves the problem. Hooray. That didn't happen. Like, I know they sold a bunch and there are some happy people out there who've used them, but collectively, everybody's like, it's not that great. Where's my Apple display? And what they were imagining is literally what this display is.
Right. I mean, as a counter example, you could take another market that Apple left at one point, the printer market, and see that the opposite happened there, right? Apple's like, you know, we don't need to make printers. There's plenty of other third-party vendors serving Apple, printing needs. And the answer was, yeah, there kind of was, right? You can buy yourself a $100 Brother laser printer and you'll be insofar as printers go, you will be very happy with it.
And there's not that moment where you're like, oh, but imagine the Apple printer. It's like, well, at least I don't do that. It's fine. Yeah. But we have talked about AirPort, right?
Yeah, I was going to say that one's in the middle, right? The Wi-Fi router one, I think, is solidly in the middle of those two things because there are other options. They are occasionally frustrating and there are problems with it, but it's neither like entirely like the printer market where it's like, you can't imagine something better, right? Like, what hey, buy that $100 router and it's as good a thing as you could want from anything. Or on the other side, there's nothing in the market that fills that gap, right? It's solidly in the middle of like, I would like to see the competition in this space. I feel like Apple could still have something to add. But at the same time, and to raise the bar. But at the same time, you understand, like, I can understand why they don't necessarily want to be in this market, where the competition is at.
Yeah. So it's a funny thing, and it is in the eye of the beholder. I think that there are legitimate criticisms of this display, but I also think that this display is the answer to a lot of people's dreams and is going to be very well received in terms of sales. And what I also like about it is the fact that Apple has clearly learned its lesson that it screwed up when it didn't make a display. And I do anticipate that the company will start making other displays, and we will eventually get a bright, you know, an HDR display that doesn't cost $5,000 and that maybe has a higher refresh rate at some point down the line. But just because they can do it in a 16-inch display doesn't necessarily mean they can do it in a 24 or 27-inch display
yet, for a price that they want. Yeah.
Maybe it's coming down the line. But again, that's another product. And
yeah, I mean, does Apple want to eventually have all of its displays be HDR and, you know, have great Retina quality and have all these other features? Of course it does. It wants to make the best displays it can. It wants to have ProMotion across the line. It wants to have micro LED.
Right.
It wants to have all those great features. But it's not like you can just wave a magic wand and be like,
ta-da! Those are cutting edge features. And I would feel differently about, and this goes back to me saying that some reviewers are reviewing it against a product that doesn't exist or an ideal, is features exist out there, but are they in a product? Like, I would feel very different if there was another product that had the resolution that a Mac user who's used to Retina expects, that is HDR and that maybe supports a high refresh rate, that existed, that was in the ballpark of the price of this product. But that product doesn't exist. Like, that product doesn't exist. There are the 14-inch and 16-inch MacBook Pro display is that product, and it's small and it's attached to a computer. So it's not like it would be a very different argument if you could say, look, don't buy this thing because you should buy this other thing. But instead, it's like, this thing isn't good because I want it to be better. It's like, well, I get it, but like, let's be realistic here. That first off, I think it is good. I think that there's some tech reviewers have this sort of boredom factor, which is like, oh, it's a 7-year-old panel, so it can't be good. It's like, that 7-year-old panel is amazing, and I love it, and I've used it, and it's been in my face for 7 years. And while I'm sure everybody who's seen a MacBook Pro display or an iPad Pro 12.9 display has been blown away by what you get on that. Or the Pro Display XDR, honestly, also has some amazing stuff in it. But, you know, sort of like the Retina argument, like, it's a really good panel. It's solid. Yeah. It's tried and true. It's good. It's got good color reproduction. No, it's not high dynamic range. It's fine.
I think it also does a disservice to the people reading these reviews, right? Because it encourages them to wait for something that may never exist. Right. And
yeah.
I got an email about this week because I wrote my piece about how I decided what iPad I was going to buy. And somebody wrote in and was like, you know, I went into that thinking the iPad Air seemed like an obvious one. And then I looked at the Pro in my local and realized the difference was actually not that big. And I was like, yeah, it makes sense. And then they paused and at the end were like, but wouldn't you have been better off waiting for an update to the Pro? And I was like, well, you can always wait for an update, right?
Wait.
Like, you can always wait. And,
yes.
and you may see that product. It may be the product that you want. And then it may also not be the product you want. And you'll wonder, why did I wait all this time for a thing that doesn't tick all those boxes?
Yeah.
So I think you have to say, like, compared to what is out there and what you can get for that sort of competitive price angle or whatever, like, I'm perfectly happy with the Verge saying, look, if you prioritize HDR or backlight dimming or what have you, this is not the monitor for you. It's like, yeah, that's totally reasonable. If you want those features, then yeah, it's not the monitor for you. But if you want something that, you know, has a great looking screen and uh-huh. works well with all your peripherals and stuff, you know, it's not a bad choice.
Also,
so.
Who is this monitor for? There are assumptions. Yes. Yeah. I mean, if you're looking for a gaming monitor, this is not the monitor for you. If you're doing HDR editing of video or photos and you need to have an HDR display to do that, this is not the monitor for you because it's not that. Like, yes, all of these things are true, but most people don't care. Honestly, most people don't care. This is a very good, very high quality display. And most people most Mac users who are accustomed to this kind of thing will be happy that they can now get one and attach it to a Mac Mini or a Mac Studio or a Mac Pro or a laptop especially, and get a good display that also has speakers and a camera and microphones so that they can run their laptop lid closed and still participate in conference calls and all those things, right? Like, that's what it's made for. And yeah, it would be great if it was $1,200. The other thing, and I know we talked about this yesterday on the video stream, like, the other thing that gets me is Because I'm kind of mad that everybody's focused on this criticism of a thing that I didn't even see. And not on things like the fact that for $1,600, you can't make it go higher. Like, that's what kills me. And if you wanted to go higher, it's $400 more. Like, come on. Like, that, I think, is the ridiculous thing about this product. But yeah. Everybody else is like, you know, but the webcam. It's like, okay. Or that Apple keeps talking about studio quality speakers and microphones. And, like, I don't know what studio they're talking about unless it's this literal computer. Because, like, no, they're not. They're good for webcam and for general use. But, like, they claim that it's the best speakers in a Mac ever. And it's like, I'm sorry. I think my iMac Pro speakers are better than this. So they're still not that great. They're fine, but they're not that great. Those are my issues with this product. And I still like it and I still bought one. But yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think all of those things are, again, talking about audience, right? There are a wide swath of people that use, you know, sit there in front of their big TVs and are happy with the sound that comes out of them, even though it's often
right out of the TV, which is which is the same thing, right? Which is, and that's why you strive. This is why Apple strives to do better with the audio on the display, is because they know that
they
some
know
people
are going
to
do that,
are only ever going to use it, so they want them to have a better experience. But and that's why it's admirable if a TV manufacturer tries to make their TV speakers good. It also doesn't change the fact that I am never going to use TV speakers because they're terrible. And if a TV speaker manufacturer came to me and said, these speakers are so good, we've engineered them with home theater clarity, it's like a sound bar in the TV, and it just sounded like a TV, I wouldn't say, I would say these are good TV speakers, but I wouldn't, I would ding them for claiming that it was like soundbar quality, right? Because it's like,
it's funny too, because I actually do. I've been impressed by some of the speakers that Apple has engineered for some of its products. I think the iPad Pro, even on my old 10.5-inch iPad Pro, I actually thought the speakers were pretty good. Right. Like, I wouldn't want to listen to music on them, but I watch TV shows on them pretty frequently, and it was fine.
And it's the engineering into the small space is also part of it, too, and it's the context. I've watched TV shows and movies on my iPad Pro, absolutely. And, like, I would prefer to put in my AirPods, but sometimes that doesn't happen for context reasons.
Sometimes there's somebody else who's watching with you, and you can't do that. Yeah, no. So there's all these things where it's like, context is important. The context in which you're using things, the context in which things can be placed in terms of even things like engineering and physics, right? You got to have that context in order to make an assessment of a product,
right?
There you go, behind the scenes of reviewing stuff.
Well, it's tricky because there is no right answer. Like, everything that was written in the Verge's review is accurate. And Nilay is, now I am naming names, is welcome. He has the right to his opinion, and he absolutely feels that way, and I get it. I also think that he's making a very specific point about what he wants to see. And I'm approaching this product from a much more pragmatic viewpoint, which is relief that Apple is making an Apple quality tailored for Mac users, uses a good panel, external display, and it doesn't cost $2,000 unless you want an adjustable stand. And for me, I look at that and I'm like, oh, thank God. Because now laptop users have a good display they can tie into. And you can buy a Mac Studio and have a good display. Like literally, would I buy a Mac Studio if I had to buy an LG Ultrafine in order to use it? No, I would not, right? I would not. Now, Scott McNulty has his big monitor, and so he did buy a Mac Studio, and he doesn't need he doesn't need another. He was using an iMac off to the side driving his main display. That's how he's set up right now. And he can just get rid of that iMac and just have the Mac plugged into his awesome display that he loves. That's great too. But like, but the context is just like, if you are somebody who really wanted that Apple display and something that had been thoughtfully designed for people like you who use a Mac, it's there now, and it's not cheap, but it's not unreasonably priced, right? Like, it's an Apple price. It's more than it should be, but it's actually less than I thought they would charge for it, given what's in it, given that there's an iPhone 11 inside it running the whole thing, running iOS apparently. It's wild,
right? Yeah.
And I'm not wrong either, right? Like, that's the thing, is I get what Nilay is saying, and I really do understand the idea that like what we really want is a MacBook Pro display as a standalone with ProMotion and the mini LED HDR. Like, yes, I want that too. However, if they could do that, I wouldn't want it. I wouldn't buy it because it would be way too expensive right now.
Sure. Yeah.
So, yeah, I know. And all of these things are true. I think, including the fact that while I didn't see it, I think that absolutely there's some weird image pipeline things going on with that webcam. And if you rely on a very high quality webcam to do your job day to day, and otherwise you want to buy this monitor, I don't know what to tell you. You could always buy a webcam if you really need it.
let me mention one thing too. If you rely on a high quality webcam to do your stuff, you may already have one. Right? Apple doesn't make a lot of other products with webcams that are better than this.
That's true. Maybe
some of the 1080p ones are okay and they're fine and they're fixed and whatever. And like, the 24-inch iMac, whatever. But most of the new ones aren't much better.
I'm gonna grant this to somebody, especially like Joanna Stern or to Nile, which is I am used to Mac webcams. So if you're used to like a really high quality 4K webcam and then you look at this, you might be like, oh no. Whereas the iMac Pro essentially was the highest quality webcam until they did the recent spate of other ones getting the same quality webcam, basically this 1080 processed.
I mean, I was excited because I do use like, I do some video streaming and I use the webcam that's built in my iMac and it's not great. It really isn't. I mean, this is a 5-year-old webcam. It's 720p,
right? No, that's
the
720p one. So that's
even
worse.
It's not great. I was looking for something that would look, you know, amazing and crystal clear. And so far, maybe this isn't what I'm looking for in that regard. Because in streaming, I do think that center stage is a little weird for something like if you were doing a stream. I think that would be a little bizarre to have.
I mean, we did one yesterday, and it was weird. Yeah,
it is a little weird, but like I'm thinking of like when we do our TPK stuff over the Incomparable, and you've got like six people in Windows. If one of those little thumbnails is like moving around
camera
and panning,
movement.
Like
sure,
I can see that would be distracting to people. And so, if nothing else, they need to fix that issue when you turned it off and it like cropped your head all the way down. It's like that is not
so
satisfactory.
Weird.
That is a problem. So fix that.
Yeah, they might want to put in some controls so you can do things like adjust the refresh rate and set where the crop is and stuff like that, and they don't
or that is a rich vein for third party apps if they
if
make it available. I don't know
kind.
Yeah, because like we say Ecamm has for years made a thing called eyeglasses. I think still works. I don't remember if it works on Intel Apple Silicon Macs, but like there have been third party tools for it. And like
Mike Hurley uses an external webcam because he can't use the iMac webcam because he can't change its refresh rate and it's off sync with the lights in Europe.
Right. They should absolutely fix that. And like I think my biggest thing that's kept me like I have an old Logitech 1080p webcam. I don't use it for two reasons. One, I don't have spare USB ports. Mm-hmm. I have to put in a hub and stuff, and I'm just trying to avoid that. And two, I actually find the image worse because it does this, like, it tries to do auto exposure stuff that, like, sometimes looks really weird. And, like, you can tweak it, but it's more work than I want to do. And I find that Apple's built-in webcam, I have to worry much less about that because the automatic adjustments of that are actually pretty good, even though the image quality is not as good. So, you know, it's all about trade-offs, right? So
Yeah, it is. That's true. Yeah, if you really want the highest quality, you will get a dedicated piece of camera hardware. Yeah. And I guess that would be the criticism is maybe that's what should be in there. But I don't know. What is this product for? And that's Apple took. Like I said, I think there is a debate to be had about whether Apple is too in love with center stage and that this was a product that would have been better served with less whizzy technology that was just solid. Like I think that I don't think I agree with it, but I think it's argument worthy. In a way, if that makes any sense.
Sure.
Mac Studio, meanwhile, like, what can I say about it? I've used it for a week. I'm coming from that iMac Pro, so everybody's mileage will vary. It's great. I had to buy a new power strip. I'm going to write this up because nobody remembers that power strip article that David Pogue wrote in 2007 in the New York Times, I guess. I don't know.
Weirdly enough.
I didn't know this product category existed, but I had to buy a new power strip. It turns out the power strip is less important than it used to be, but it's still nice to save a little power. But it uses less power than the iMac Pro, and the power strip was flipping on and off and on and off because it didn't have an adjustable threshold, and the Apple Silicon just uses so much less power.
Right.
So I got a new power strip that has a little dial on it, and you can dial it to the right sensitivity in terms of that. So I ripped apart my under desk yesterday and put in a new power strip, and now it's all working with the Mac Studio. It's nice. I would seriously consider mounting it under my desk. I'm going to do that when somebody. I have a little metal tray under my desk that I use for my audio interface. It's out of sight, and it's great that it's out of sight and out of mind. The Mac Studio, I might consider doing something similar so I just don't have to look at it. Hopefully mount it somewhere where I can still, you know, press the power button and get at the front ports easily. But we'll see about that. It's all in flux because my VESA mount version is not coming in, of the display is not coming until next month, I believe. And it's gonna be on an arm, and like, how does the cabling work? And
does your studio arrive before that?
Yeah, it's going to be here soon. And
what's your plan for that?
Well, I mean, what do you mean?
You don't have a display though.
I've got the loaners.
You got the loaner, so you can keep the loaner and run your studio off of it.
I know people love the inside baseball stuff. The loan period on this is enormous, so I can stretch. Actually, it's the thing that got me to commit to migrating my entire iMac Pro to the Apple Loaner Mac Studio, is that I know that I will have the time to use it, and I don't need to migrate it like a week later. I can wait and migrate in a month or something, and it'll be okay. So I did buy all this stuff myself too, but depending on how I feel about the configuration that I bought, I might actually take it back and place a different order. We'll see. I actually have a friend who... This actually came up on a different podcast. It came up on ATP, so I guess I'll mention it here, which is like, I have a friend who works at Apple who can get me one using the friends and family discount, which is like, it's there for friends. So I may actually be able to get a Mac Studio config for cheaper. And since this loan period is ludicrous, I might return the one that I'm getting in a couple of days, but we'll see. I haven't decided that part yet, but that's the good thing is that, yeah, I will slowly kind of disengage from my review unit to the one that I bought, but I'm not quite there yet. And I did look again yesterday, Dan, I got to say it. I did, after we talked and I said that I thought about it and decided the Mac Studio was a better choice than a MacBook Pro, I did go back to the MacBook Pro pricing page and do it again. And the problem is it ends up being like, the one that I would buy if I bought a MacBook Pro would end up being like $3,400.
Yeah, I'm like, right.
It's $3,400 or $2,000. It's like,
yeah, there's more shoes to drop with this whole Apple Silicon transition, as I think we've discussed.
Yeah, and I mean, and here's where I think it really does come down to with me is, if it's my only computer, I really have a level at which it needs to be, whereas I'm fine buying a $999 MacBook Air. Right. I'm fine with it because it's not my only computer and it's good and I can travel with it and it's compromised compared to what's on my desk, but that's okay. But if it's the only Mac I have, I'm not going to want a $999 Air. And at that point, I spent $3,400 and I was like, no.
You know, the same reason that I don't necessarily want to buy an M1 mini to replace my iMac, which is, well, it's exactly the same as the Air that I already have. It's just the exact same computer sitting on my desktop.
You can buy an Air and a base model Mac Studio for quite a bit less than the price of that configured MacBook Pro. So
yeah.
So I went anyway. You got to. I confidently said yesterday on our video stream that was what I was going to do, and then I thought I had second, a third thoughts, fourth thoughts about it, and it comes back to that, which is, you know, it's not the portability aspect of it is not that important to me, and having a MacBook Air that I can have when I do need to do something that's not at my desk is the right way to go there. So I'm happy for Mac Studio. Like, I would have been happy if there was a 27-inch iMac with the specs of the Mac Studio. I would have bought that too. I would have been happy with that. I suspect Okay, so Apple says they're not doing it. Some people have said that they're not doing it.
There's a lot of
but there are also some reports that they are absolutely doing it. And I get, like, from Apple's perspective too, you kind of like don't want people to wait. Like, Apple must have been furious at that report that went out that said Apple was readying an even better standalone display to come out later this year. Yeah. Where it's like, well, how many sales did they lose from people who are like, oh, I'll just wait for that one that may or may not even exist. But yeah, it's plus,
there's always some fast and loose when it comes to like Apple's not doing a version of this or they're not doing this. Well, you have to like read very carefully to be like, thinking, well,
they don't finalize some of those things.
Exactly.
They delay them. There was a report that iMac got, they weren't working on the iMac, big iMac or something. And I think you can look at it and be like, oh, well, see, and there isn't one, but it doesn't mean there won't be one next year. There may have been very much a chart where they're looking at the M2 and they're like, ah, this, they have that big pointer and it's in a big, go with me in the imagery here. And it's the big M1, M2, and they've got little cards on the board and there's somebody with like a pointer and they tap the board and they go, aha, and this is when the large iMac comes back. That's,
well, you know, and I think it's also worth considering that one of the maxims when it comes to Apple is Apple never does anything until it does. Where, you know, Steve Jobs will talk about how bad video looks and we never put one on an iPod how we'll never do a tablet. And the answer is always you have to parse what they say very carefully.
Sure.
And they're going to leave the door open and they're never going to say we'll never do something like that, because if the answer turns out to be this thing is valuable to them or is this, you know, potentially has an audience to it, then yeah, they'll consider it for sure. I mean, yeah, I think never assume never with Apple, basically.
Yeah. Well, hope everybody has fun who ordered stuff and manages to get it starting today. Mm-hmm. Whether it's Mac Studio Display or whether it's iPhone SE or iPad Air or whatever. Or maybe you, like Dan, decided it was time to just buy an iPad Pro and go that way with it.
No regrets.
I was surprised. I mean, I'm about to wrap it up, but I'll say I was surprised by some of the iPad Air reviews being like, this is the best iPad that most people should buy. And I thought, I mean, only if you believe that most people only need 64 gigs of storage, which maybe you do. And that's, I think that there's truth in that. But like, if you want more than 64 gigs of storage, I'm not sure it is. And you're the proof.
Oh, it's absolutely. I don't, that 256 gigabyte Air to me, have a hard time with it unless you prioritize storage over everything.
Yep.
Like, if all you need is a lot of storage and you don't care, I mean, sure, that's a fine
right. But the one
iPad,
the 128 Pro,
I think it's a sweet spot. I mean,
pretty nice.
It's more expensive than I'd like, but you know, that's you could say that about
Apple.
Any Apple product. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm generally pretty happy with it as a choice. Honestly, going from a 5-year-old iPad Pro to this. Again, you talked about this when you wrote that article about the new iPhone last year and talked about all the incremental improvements, right, that you get if you haven't upgraded in several years. And going from an iPad that's 5 years old, all the little stuff really does add up, even to the stuff like the performance. Like, my iPad was fine, but like I would notice every once in a while it seemed like, oh, it's a little sluggish or whatever. And then going to the new iPad, you're like, holy crap, like just even web pages load so much faster and scrolling is smooth and fast and all that stuff. And you're like, yeah, this is what 5 years of improvements gets you.
Yeah, it's good.
Not nothing.
All right. Well, thanks to everybody out there for supporting us and being a member of Six Colors. And who knows what the next week will bring.
Oh, boy.
Just can't wait. I can't wait. Maybe there'll be a monitor software update. That'd be exciting. Yeah. But until
tune
then,
for that.
Bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.